Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Scott Kersner. It's Wednesday, and that's time for sports with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Scott.
So we're going to start with a piece of tape that might be a little painful for Red Sox fans. This is from last night's Sox versus Mariners game in Seattle.
The 1-2, swing, and this is cross right field, gone! Three-run homer, Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist Fernando Abad, and the Mariners lead it 5-4.
The Mariners scored a three-run homer in the eighth inning and went on to win last night's game. And to top it all off, first baseman Hanley Ramirez had some trouble with the steps in the dugout and hurt his wrist. Really dramatic game last night. What do you think, Bill?
I think that guy is a Mariners announcer. He got all excited.
Yeah.
He's supposed to say, fly ball, that's out of here. Red Sox are down a run. I mean, you know, you're not supposed to get all excited when the other team hits a home run, are you? That was weird.
Tell us about the pitcher who came from the Minnesota Twins just 2 days ago.
You know, you make these mid-season acquisitions, and of course what you hope is that the hitter you acquire at the end of July or the beginning of August hits three home runs in his first game and that the pitcher strikes everybody out, and then all the fans say, what a smart fellow you are to have acquired that guy. But it doesn't always work out that way. And of course it's completely unfair to judge anybody on a single appearance, let alone their very first appearance for the Red Sox.
What's your read on the Red Sox season so far?
Well, I continue to think that in order to be sure they're going to win, they should score in double figures. Their pitching is still sketchy. Their hitting is generally very, very good. David Ortiz is having a very nice final season, good enough for people to scratch their heads and wonder why he wants to retire. But this is not a team that's very well balanced, and the pitching is suspect at best.
I want to ask you about that in a second. But so David Ortiz, who's retiring at the end of the season, is getting a send-off before tonight's final game in Seattle.
Send-off number what? He gets a send-off everywhere he goes. This is what happens when you announce a year in advance your intention to retire. Everybody gives you a rocking chair made out of baseball
bat. But I didn't know this bit of history, that the Mariners traded him to Minnesota in the mid-90s, very early in his career, and some people have called it one of the worst trades ever.
Well, it's among them, as they say, in baseball circles, I guess, as it turns out. Yeah, it's certainly among them. David Ortiz was an interesting case, and I don't know why I'm speaking of him in the past tense, except that he announced his retirement last year. He didn't really become David Ortiz until fairly well along. And Red Sox fans of a certain age will remember the kind of hitter that Dwight Evans eventually became during his career. He was a much better hitter later on. He got to be a better hitter at the point where most hitters start to tail off. And David Ortiz just became something different from what he had become.
So you don't
had been, I'm
fault
sorry.
You don't fault the Mariners for that.
Oh,
one.
No. The people make trades, and the Red Sox have made some stupid ones, too.
So the Major League Baseball trading deadline was Monday evening, you mentioned. There weren't any huge last-minute trades, and I kind of didn't understand why.
Well, the general reason for not making trades is usually economics. You look at what you've got, and you look at the future value of what you think you have, and you project it, and then you say, gee, I don't want to give up this guy who may be terrific in 2 or 3 years to acquire somebody who's going to be maybe very good for a very short period of time and get me into the postseason and into the World Series. Not worth the trade-off. And I think that's probably the way the Red Sox front office is thinking right now.
I want to shift to the Patriots now. They finished their first week of training camp with Tom Brady and the backup quarterback, now the frontline quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, both getting practice time at Gillette Stadium. 21,000 fans turned up on Saturday to watch what I guess was the first preseason practice. Tell us about the details of Brady's ban, the Deflategate ban, finally coming into effect for these first four games of the regular season are really interesting in terms of what he's prevented from doing.
Well, he's not prevented from doing anything in the preseason. He can be around and he can take snaps and he can throw passes and do all that good stuff. Once the season starts, he's prevented from almost any association with the team, which if he were – 23 years old and in his second season with the Patriots might be a concern. Tom Brady, among the many other things he is a veteran. And I don't think there'll be any real problem with him being in condition and with him being mentally and physically prepared to step behind center when the time comes. People sometimes wonder about that, but I can't see it.
So people are going to be watching Jimmy Garoppolo pretty closely. I got to see him in the first exhibition game last August when the Patriots lost to Green Bay at home, and it wasn't exactly a dazzling performance.
No, but it was an exhibition game. I don't understand these things. You began, Scott, this little bit by saying 21,000 people had turned up to watch preseason practice. Nothing better to do. This scares me. This makes me uneasy.
It's August. People aren't out gardening. There's no water, right?
To Foxborough. They're watching these guys run around in shorts and cutoffs. I mean, they're not even playing football yet, and they're not going to, thank goodness, because they won't get hurt. But it always amazes me, the annual picture of people storming through the gates to watch the Patriots run around and toss footballs at each other.
I want to ask one quick Olympics question because the run-up is starting, and actually there's a first few games starting tonight, even before the open ceremony on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us quickly about the U.S. women's soccer team.
They have a chance to make the kind of sandwich that has never been made before. If they win the Olympics, they'll have two Olympics with a World Cup in between as the meat between the two slices of bread, which is quite extraordinary. Always, this has been a strong team. Recently, it has been an incredibly strong team.
Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Scott Kersner. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.